A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ahí va a llegar el gol del Arsenal, Ozil. Marca Mesut Ozil.
Giroud pulling it back. Arsenal in front once more. Aaron Ramsey scores for the Gunners.
This is Arscast Extra.
Hello and welcome to another Arscast Extra. As always, with James from Gunner Blog. Good evening to you, James. It's an evening recording.
Goodly evening, it is. It's a lovely balmy evening over here. Well, I say that, it was pouring with rain earlier. It's very changeable at the moment.
Yeah.
But evening. Yeah.
I'm opening the window here.
Go on, what's outside?
The air, sky, birds, that kind of stuff. I'm just opening it because my office is really quite warm, but it did book it down with rain here as well.
That's it. This storm weather. When I went to Mallorca, and when I took off, there was a massive storm over... Well, London, particularly North London, apparently. But I was on the plane and I could sort of look out the window and see the forked lightning, you know, all around me.
Oh.
Quite frightening, really.
Yeah. That's not pleasant, but I assume you had a good holiday. You looked like you had
a
good holiday, I have to say.
Yeah.
I've been following your Instagram stories with great mirth. to the point where it got to a point where I just felt so sorry for your fiance. I assume she is still your fiance. The wedding is going ahead. She hasn't, you know, stabbed you in the neck or anything like that.
No, somehow I'm sorry to say, Arsenal fans, it's still on track. But there's still time. There's still time. She's got about 6 weeks to get out of it. So we'll see. But yeah, for those who didn't see, I mean, how to explain the Instagram stories? It was basically just me making a lot of videos of myself saying that there were a lot of things, observing that there were a lot of different things.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, got enough desks,
got enough
booze,
got enough sunglasses. I don't think she liked it that much, to be honest, but people kept telling me to keep doing them. And yeah, I'm a sucker for praise. People said, these are funny, keep making them. And so I just kept making them, and she kept getting more and more annoyed. We're back off the holiday now. I'm taking a hiatus, but who knows? Maybe I'll bring it back for a much-heralded second series.
Yeah, or the honeymoon. Do it for the honeymoon.
God, don't give me ideas.
I have to say, I think my favourite one was where I assume you were pretending to take a picture of her in front of the beach, and she was standing there looking, just smiling into the camera, and then I was like, got enough umbrellas? And she was like, I can't fucking...
Yeah, she wasn't too happy. But, you know, what you've got to know as well, there were plenty I did when the camera wasn't on, so imagine what it was like.
Oh, my God.
But I'm going to try and compile them. I'm going to try and edit them into a little compilation and share it with the world.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sure she'll thank you for that as well.
I'll give it to her as a wedding present. I'll project it at the wedding ceremony.
Got enough rings?
Yeah, I hope so.
Just the two, you know, just the two.
Got enough divorce papers? No, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But anyway, how has everything been in these islands?
In your absence?
Yes.
Well, I think there's been a marked difference between when I went on holiday and lots of great stuff happened.
Actually.
And you went on holiday and... basically, fuck all happened, James.
How can you say that? We played titanic clashes against Bayern Munich and Chelsea.
Well, yes.
Important fixtures.
True, true. I mean, I did want to bring those monumental fixtures up at some point during the podcast, but basically, nothing much has happened. We've written down here, transfers in, zero, out, zero. We did have those games, of course, against Bayern Munich and Chelsea. We were great. When we beat Bayern Munich, of course, it was a marvellous display. We put them to the sword. We lured them into a false sense of superiority by allowing them to basically take shots at will at our goal. And they only got a goal through a penalty, of course, which they dive for, which is, of course, the Bayern Munich way when it comes to Arsenal. They dive and get a penalty, and that's how they scored their goal. Petr Cech let it in, of course, as he does with penalties, again, to lure them into a false sense of superiority. We let them hammer us for a while, and then Alex Iwobi, right at the death, scored a fantastic goal, and we beat them on penalties.
That's it. And it turns out Emi Martinez was the penalty king all along.
Well, look, maybe that's why they're going to have him as the number two goalkeeper next year, because he can save penalties. Maybe
you need him on the bench to bring him on for shootouts.
Yeah. Well, it would be great if you could do rolling subs for goalkeepers, couldn't it? We got a penalty against us. Hang on, ref, just going to switch in. Petter, come off here. Emi, get on there. Right, save the penalty. Get the fuck off again. Petter, get back on. That would be something, but I'm not sure the game is sophisticated enough for that yet.
You could have one goalkeeper who came on to take the goal kicks, the dead balls, you know, the set pieces.
Not Ospina.
Another goalkeeper who came on to deal with corners. Not Ospina.
Another goalkeeper who came on to dominate his penalty box. Not Ospina.
Well, I tell you, we did have one transfer out the day before I went away. Speaking of goalkeepers, that was Wojciech Szczęsny. He went to Juventus. Very sad. Did you see him all teary in his press conference?
I did see that. He was obviously really affected by it. He was asked, I think, by the Italian journalist, do you have any regrets about the way things finished with Arsenal? And he said, well, you know, I've been there for, was there for 10 years or whatever it was. And then was like, and he was trying, like he was smiling, but trying not to cry at the same time. And I have to say, my heart broke into 1,000 tiny little pieces for poor old Wojciech. I know some people didn't like him, but I liked him. He was a player that I liked and a character and a personality that I liked. And I think it's a shame that it didn't work out. I understand, you know, the reasons why, but, you know, he's got a very good move, hasn't he? Juventus. I mean, they're not a small club or anything. So,
yeah, he's done very well. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Arsenal trying to offload, inverted commas, dead wood this summer, but you cannot put him into that category. This is one of the best young goalkeepers in Europe, and he's gone to Juventus to replace Gigi Buffon in the long term. I mean, I think he'll view it as a step up, if anything. So, I don't think you can argue with it from his perspective, but sad to see any player who obviously feels such a massive affinity for the club depart.
Yeah, he did write a very nice message, of course, on Facebook or his Instagram or one of those. And I loved the bit where he said, even though I'm not an Arsenal player no more, I did like that. The pure Londonness or Englishness of that was great.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? He might as well have written in rhyming slang or something. But I imagine he'll do very well there. I mean, what an opportunity, I suppose, to learn from Buffon for a year and then potentially take over at the top club in Italy. I mean, it's all right, isn't it? If you're going to get kicked out of your sort of club where you've been raised, he's landed on his feet, let's say.
Yeah. I mean, I do wonder if he was prepared to go to Juventus to play. We figure under Buffon for the final year. It's hard to see that Juventus are going to, in his final year, just shift Buffon to one side and let someone else take over. I guess Szczęsny's going to work in tandem with him anyway, depending on what goes on in terms of Europe, etc., etc. But, you know, there's probably no reason why he couldn't have come back to Arsenal and worked in the same way under Petr Cech, who's 35, going to be 36. You know, that's...
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, why not have a similar... If he's prepared to do it in Turin, surely he would have been prepared to do it at this club he loves so dearly. It must have been Arsene Wenger's decision. His mind was made up, it seems, about Szczęsny.
Yeah. So that's really the only piece of transfer news that has happened. Apart from, we have turned down a couple of bids for some players. Callum Chambers was a £16 million offer from Crystal Palace. Apparently that was turned down. And apparently we also turned down a £10 million bid for Kieran Gibbs. That seems... you know, if you're going to make Kieran Gibbs play in the reserves in a friendly against Boreham Wood, which is probably just about to kick off now. Matthew Debussy, Carl Jenkinson and Kieran Gibbs involved in this friendly against Boreham Wood tonight as we're recording. That tells you where he stands in the squad. And for me, £10 million for a left-back who's hardly played over the last 18 months, 2 years, with 1 year left on his contract, that seems like pretty good money. So when we're talking about finding it difficult to get rid of some of the dead wood, maybe we need to just take what we can get for some of these guys.
Yeah, that does seem a strange one. I mean, I think £10 million for Kieran Gibbs sounds very, very decent indeed. I mean, it was a bit of an odd one. Was it West Brom who were reportedly in for him? And then Tony Pulis kind of turned around and said, we won't be signing Kieran Gibbs. Was that because the bid had been rejected? Or
probably.
It was a bit of a strange one. Yeah,
probably. I guess, I mean, it's not as if he's a small, petty man or anything, is it? No, we won't be signing Kieran Gibbs. We don't want Kieran Gibbs.
Yeah. £10 million, I mean, I would bite not just your hand off, I would bite off your arm, really, for £10 million for Kieran Gibbs. And that's not any slight on him. £10 million, is an awful lot of money for anybody. I mean, I know that the transfer market is officially insane now, what with Neymar and all that.
Well, you know, aside from Neymar, aside from anything else, Mbappe, while you were away, Kyle Walker went to Manchester City for £50 million. I mean, what the how do we, as football fans, as people who write about football and talk about football for some part of our meager living, how do we try and make sense of anything when Kyle Walker costs £50 million? How do we make sense of anything when Swansea turned down a £45 million bid for Gylfi Sigurdsson, who is a good player, Gylfi Sigurdsson? But £45 million? What the fuck is going on?
I am beginning to come round to the idea that we are living in some sort of simulation, and our gullibility is just being tested now by the aliens. They're like, what can we put into the programme and see if they'll accept it? And yeah, everyone's going, okay, £50 million, Gylfi Sigurdsson. And they're like, all right, leave him plugged into the Matrix. That's how it makes me feel. But what's interesting is that those rates do not seem to apply in any way to Arsenal players. You've got Swansea turning down £40 million bids for Gylfi Sigurdsson, and yet we can't get, I don't know, more than about £6 million for Jack Wilshere. It's an interesting thing, isn't it?
Well, I mean, is the difference perhaps that... Well, I mean, I think Tottenham were open to selling Kyle Walker, but Swansea want to keep hold of Gylfi Sigurdsson. The ones that we have... who we all want to see.
Everyone knows we want to get rid.
Well, that's kind of part of it as well. That might be something we come back to in the second part of the show with questions. There was some Alexis Sanchez stuff going on as well. Apparently he was in Paris. Then he wasn't in Paris. Then PSG were in London. I don't know who PSG were in London talking to, like Dick Law.
I don't know, the cleanest? I honestly don't know. I think they were just in the Arsenal shop, shopping. I don't know what they were doing in there, thinking if they could buy enough Alexis shirts, that would somehow count. It was confusing for me because I was away and only checking the news intermittently, and I was looking online and it seemed basically like Alexis to PSG was a done deal. People were reporting it as he'd agreed a contract in Paris and it was a matter of time. And within 24 hours, Arsene Wenger... he came out, he absolutely stonewalled it, didn't he? I mean, he knocked the idea out of the park, out of the planet. He was like, Alexis is not for sale, I'm on record, the decision's been taken.
Yeah, he said basically it's media imagination is what he put those stories down to. And then he said PSG, they're chasing Neymar because they cannot get Sanchez. Now, Alexis is due back this weekend. He's back on Sunday. He's going to go straight into training on Sunday while we're playing some Emirates Cup games. So, you know, maybe there'll be some kind of clarity from his side of things. But certainly, whatever you might, whether you believe it or not, right? Because we have been down this road before and there was, you got to excuse me, I had a bit of a cold and now I'm a bit croaky of the throat. But
you're excused.
Thank you. Whatever about things that have happened in the past, and we know we've seen Nasri and Fabregas, Van Persie, other players who've had a year left on their contract and they've been sold. We've been there, we've done it. But the message this time from the club has been, throughout this summer, been hugely consistent, that we will not sell Alexis Sanchez. He's not going to Man City, he's not going to Chelsea, he's not going to Bayern Munich, he's not going to PSG. I don't know who else there is. There is nobody else. So
maybe Swansea when they get all that Gylfi money. I was thinking about this and it almost feels like, I mean, we know that after the FA Cup final, we had the Cup final on Saturday, and on the Monday, apparently Arsene Wenger sat down with Stan Kroenke over lunch and they thrashed out the terms of his new deal. And then on Tuesday, that was kind of presented and ratified at a board meeting. And it almost feels like at that board meeting, it feels like they sat around and were like, what are we going to do about Alexis? And a decision collectively was taken by the club that they would not be selling him. Because the positions from that date on has been entirely inflexible. They've been absolutely rigid in their stance. And I think for Arsene Wenger to talk with that authority, I think he must know he has the backing of the owner in that respect, you know, and the board, and that it's a strategic decision that has been taken. I mean, I can't shed the few percent of doubt that this could still blow up, that the player could still make it a trickier situation than it currently is.
Mm. But it would require that, wouldn't it? It would require Alexis to say, I don't want to be here anymore, to give one of those interviews where you go, oh, for fuck's sake, he's totally fucked it now. But
the guy's interview, the Robin van Persie letter to the fans, exactly.
Yeah.
But I suppose that's commendable of the club in a way. They've made it such a situation where if it does all come apart, it will be the players' fault and it will be their doing because they've acted up. The club have done it the right way, I suppose. You know, they've said he's one of our best players. We want to keep him.
Yeah.
And
can't argue with that.
In this slightly mad world of football transfers where, you know, you sign a player for a huge fee, whatever it is, 50 million quid or 35 in Alexis's case, you put them on a four-year contract, you agree that, and then within 2 years as a club, you have to sort of hurriedly commence negotiations on a new deal where those last 2 years of the contract seem to mean nothing at all. I sort of feel like Arsene Wenger's probably thinking, well, I'd kind of like to put some of the power back in the hands of the employer. We know he believes in the sanctity of contracts, and I think he's trying against the trend to kind of re-establish that and hold Alexis to the agreement that is in place. Whether or not that proves possible, I suppose, is another thing.
I think you're right to an extent, but I also think there's something a little more self-serving to it in the sense that he realises that for Arsenal to try and get back to where he wants them to be or where we want Arsenal to be, it would be much easier to do that if you have Alexis Sanchez in your team. Firstly, you don't have to deal with the shitstorm of selling Alexis Sanchez. Even if you sell him abroad, there's going to be people who will question the ambition of the club and the ability of the club rightly to hold on to its best players. The knock-on effect of that then, of course, is that if Alexis goes, then someone like Ozil, some of the other players might think, uh-oh, you know, maybe we'll go there. And also the fact that in this current market, to buy what Alexis gives you would cost, what, 300 billion euros? Like if Gylfi Sigurdsson's 50 million euro or 50 million pounds, what does it cost to get a player who can score you 30 goals in a season and get you 14 assists? So
How many Kieran Gibbses would it cost?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, there is something to be said for upholding the player, upholding the contract and making a player see that out. And, you know, I really admire that stance from Arsenal this summer. You know, if we get to the end of August and we don't sell him and we hang on to him, and even if he goes next season on a free, I would much prefer to see us do that than let him go, you know, this summer because he's so hard to replace. But it's being practical, it's being pragmatic in hanging on to him as well. So unless Alexis Sanchez really, really, really kicks up a fuss and does something that makes his position untenable, like he's literally got to come out and say, I do not want to play for Arsenal anymore. I want to move before the end of August. I hate it here. Everyone teases me. They give me wedgies. I just want to get out. Please let me go. You know, that kind of thing. Unless that happens, I think he's going to be an Arsenal player for the next season. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think it's going that way too. It's going to take the mother of all strops for anything to change. And I don't know, Arsene Wenger doesn't seem to believe that's going to happen. So, but I suppose if it was just Alexis, that would be one thing. But, you know, we've talked about this all summer, admittedly. But what with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Mesut Ozil in similar positions,
well,
you can't help but think ahead a little bit to next season, can
you? Sure,
think,
of course.
Yeah, what would that be like?
But, you know, here's the other thing. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain was linked with Chelsea and Stoke.
I mean,
that to me sounds like an agent that's getting desperate.
I think Arsenal leaked that to scare him into signing a new contract.
Yeah. Oh, no, not Stoke. You know, yeah, look, I mean, the stories came out that Oxlade-Chamberlain, it's not about money, it's about either playing time or playing position, which I think it could be a sticking point. But, you know, the idea that he might go to Stoke, if that's supposed to be putting pressure on Arsenal, then I don't know what's what. And maybe some more positive noises about Mesut Ozil signing a new deal. Exactly when that might happen, I don't exactly know. But other players linked with a move away. Mohamed Elneny linked with a move to
Leicester, was it?
Well, there was a story that he
turned that down.
Turned down a move to Leicester, but it came from the Sun, so I didn't really pay that much attention to it because, you know, you can't set it on fire like you would with the actual newspaper. But he's been linked with a move to Galatasaray. There was a report that the Galatasaray president or sporting director was in London last weekend or early this week, but nothing much seems to have happened. So
Turkish clubs are always claiming they're going to sign our players, aren't they? They seem to forever be, you know, in talks about something. But
yeah,
all mouth, no trousers.
There is an element of that. There is an element of that. And of course, Elneny remains with us. We've been linked with William Carvalho again from Sporting.
Of course, the new Sebastian Frey. Who I saw, you remember I was talking about seeing that seniors tournament, by the way, all those old players, Pires playing. Sebastian Frey was the France goalkeeper. He's extraordinarily fat these days. Really is.
He was never the slimmest anyway.
Right. Well, very, very difficult to score past him. Honestly, a touch of the Paddy Kenny is about Sebastian Frey these days. But yeah, the Elneny one is interesting, especially seeing as Arsene Wenger's just embarked on his big project to make him a centre half, of course.
Well, yes, there is that. I think he's just playing there because we literally don't have any other centre-halves. You know, Ainsley Maitland-Niles. We're having to use basically six centre-halves in a game because we're playing three at the back, and he's making changes at halftime and making changes throughout the games. So he's just there, I think, to make up numbers. I don't really see Elneny as a centre-half option for us going into the new season. You know, Maitland-Niles played there against Chelsea, did not look at all comfortable, but then neither did anyone else. Really, in that game against Chelsea, to be honest.
No, we've managed to not talk about it, really. Did you watch it, the Chelsea game?
I did, and it was one of the worst things I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, I watched it. Believe it or not, I was on the beach, and I got an Arsenal player up on my phone.
Oh,
and
my
God. I know, I watched about an hour of it. I mean, honestly, that was the biggest regret of my holiday, probably investing time in that.
It wasn't a good game. You know, it was a terrible pitch. It was the end of a tour. We didn't play very well. There wasn't really anything positive to take from that game, but nor was there any reason to lose your reason over a preseason friendly. A lot of people seem to do just that. Then there was the whole Wellington thing. Did you see that? Did you catch up on the Wellington business?
He was moving to Bordeaux. But I don't know exactly what our involvement was. Did you get to the bottom of the mystery?
I think we had either a buyback clause or we were able to buy a certain amount of his rights back from Fluminense, which is the Brazilian club that he moved to. So we decided to do that and sell him to Bordeaux. I don't know why it couldn't have gone straight from Fluminense to Bordeaux. And we just get a percentage of sell-on fee. But I think what happened was he went there on a free transfer last season, and because of that, in lieu of payment, we held on to a certain percentage of his rights. I think that's the way it worked. But anyway, he flew from Brazil to France, to Bordeaux, went there, and they discovered that he had an inflamed pubis.
Oh, no. I'm glad to say I didn't come home from my holiday with one of those because, you know, that's not a good sign, is it?
No.
Inflamed pubis. I imagine
pubis.
That was the bit of Wellington we still owned, the injured bit.
Yeah, probably. It just cut it open like, oh, look, Arsenal DNA in that bit, yes.
I don't know if I'm going to regret this, but I'm Googling inflamed pubis. Is this going to be bad?
I don't know, but go for it. I presume it's just a common...
Images. Oh, it looks nasty, to be honest. I mean, I'm looking at, to be honest, is a picture of a skeleton with a big red circle around the groin area. You know, it looks bad enough.
I'm looking at there's some more graphic images there on the one that I'm...
I think I've got safe search on.
I definitely don't have safe search on if a couple of the images that I'm looking at are anything to go by. But there is a very strange one of a sexless man. Have you got the sexless man image?
Yeah, the kind of action man guy.
Yeah, the action man guy. It looks like, you know, groin inflammation, it says, and it's pointing to a big red groin, but he's got no winkle or goolies.
I'd say the groin inflammation is the least of his worries because
where's
there's
my
been
winkle?
Some kind of intervention. It's not good. They didn't mention that in the press release about Wellington, that he had his winkle removed, but perhaps he also had. I don't know.
We prefer our footballers in France with winkles and ghoulies. You send this one back to Brazil immediately.
But he has gone back to Brazil, exactly, hasn't he? That's what they've done with him.
He has gone back to Brazil, and he is now, I believe, re-registered as a Fluminense player. And what the future holds, I do not know. But, you know, I also don't really care.
No, I mean, he got a lovely little trip to Bordeaux out of it, so...
Yeah, he could have picked some nice wine up at the duty free.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, very nice wine out there. Take it back with him.
Take it back.
Just make sure you don't drop it on your pubis or whatever you do.
Yeah, you don't want to get it any more inflamed than it already is.
But obviously Fluminense aren't bothered about his inflamed pubis. They're like, well, we love you as you are.
They send him over to France knowing he had this inflamed pubis.
Trying to get rid of it. Maybe.
No. They thought, look, the French will love this. They're mad into that kind of stuff. The other stuff, I suppose, is the Lucas Perez stuff. Have you seen that? You seen that stuff?
Yeah. Lucas Perez? Yeah, that made me feel a little bit sad inside, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, they took his shirt number off.
They took his squad number.
Even though he desperately wants to leave and has been quite clear about the fact that he wants to leave, immediately he's unhappy that his shirt number was taken away. I mean,
I know.
You know. I mean, I like
spare it. A thought for Joel Campbell as well. They gave him Joel Campbell's squad number. What happens to him now?
Who knows? He's injured for about 6 months anyway. Joel Campbell did his knee in the Gold Cup, isn't it? That's
Gold
the one
Cup.
That he did. So, that's but Lucas Perez,
the most precious cup.
Lucas Gold. Perez reportedly, according to La Voz de Galicia, which is the Voice of Galicia. The newspaper of the Galician region. He apparently told Dick Law, I feel cheated. In February, I was not allowed to leave for China with a promise that I would play more, and after that, I had even fewer opportunities. But the shirt number is an ugly gesture. On the trip, Lacazette asked the boss, and he accepted. Afterwards, he told me... Poor Lucas. Ooh. I like Lucas Perez. You know, he's a decent player, but I don't think... I don't think he's been... Has he been really that hard done by? I think he should have got more chances. I think he should have played more. I think his performances merited a bit more time in the squad. But what would he have been the difference, James, between us finishing in the top four or challenging for the title or not during that period?
So. I don't think so. I mean, I liked him, like you. I thought he was good and there were games where maybe on form he should have been used. I look back over the fixtures from last year and what was striking was when he did really well, he never kept his place in the team. Like when he scored that hat-trick against Basel, I think he was an unused sub in the following game. I think when he scored a couple in the League Cup at Forest, again, unused sub. Basically, every time he played well, he found himself out of the team again, which I suppose is something to feel a little bit fed up about. But most of the time, he's been replaced by Alexis Sanchez. So, you know, I don't think he's the difference, no. And I don't think that, you know, if we brought a new striker in the form of Lacazette, then someone's got to make way, haven't they? And I think you can see why it is Lucas rather than some of the other guys.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could make the case that someone who's there, aside from Lucas, has got to make way. Someone of Giroud, Welbeck, Walcott is going to have to make way as well because maybe we're just a bit top-heavy in that area. And it remains to be seen which of those guys is going to be on their way. You know, there's still...
But somehow, Mathieu Debuchy still has the number two shirt. This is the thing. Maybe he feels a bit like, hey, those guys still get their shirts and why have I had mine taken off me?
Yeah.
I mean, the answer is so we can sell lots of shiny Lacazette 9 shirts, isn't it? But
It is, yeah. And for Lacazette's career to be ruined because of the current of the number 9, which, of course, does not exist. We're joking.
I read that Lucas's agent has come to London to... discuss his sale with Arsenal to say, look, Deportivo have offered upwards of €7. Please accept this kind and generous offer.
Yes, we will bring you meat and olives as well. You know, yeah, I think the offer is around €9 million. They say they could go to maybe €10 million. But nobody else appears to be bidding, do they? I mean, that's the thing. It's not as if we've got people banging down the door for Lucas Perez. And it seems he really, really wants to go back to Deportivo. So, you know, what do we do? Do we just cut our losses? Do we write off however much we paid for him? I mean, look, the thing about it is, as well, the transfer that we did, it's not as if we would have paid that £17 million up front. There probably would have been a staggered deal, so that might be some way of doing a deal with Deportivo that doesn't see us splash out all that money. Maybe there was some of that fee was dependent on appearances, which could explain actually why he didn't play if there was an appearance fee and we knew we were going to let him go. So maybe there's a way of doing a deal with Deportivo. He's happy, we're relatively happy, Deportivo are happy, and life goes on.
Yeah, I think him going back to Depo is what makes most sense. I had never heard about the possibility of him going to China in February. That would have been a surprising move. But yeah, I think, you know, look, he was very happy at Depo. He was a hero there. I hope it works out for him, to be honest. I mean, good player, seems like a good guy. Just didn't, I suppose he did the job, didn't he? I mean, Tim Stillman, I think, wrote a thing about this where he was saying, you know, he was brought in as a backup and he kind of was a backup. And that was that.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. And his dad had an octopus stall.
And that's all we need to know.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a quiz question, like, in years to come. Which Arsenal player's father had an octopus stall in Camden Market? People will go, I don't know. Wonder who that could be. And it'll stump people for years and years. Unless they go back and check out the archives of this podcast, assuming it still exists many years in the future and the world has not been completely blown up and destroyed. But,
That was probably Depor's offer, wasn't it? €8 million, a bag of hammer ruffles and a few octopus.
Yeah, exactly. Some, pulpo a la gallega. That's it. It's very nice. It is nice. I'm not a big fan of octopus, really, but... That is quite nice. Yeah, with the potato and the pepper and all that kind of stuff. So so apart from that, that's really everything that's gone on, which kind of pales into insignificance compared to all the stuff that went on when I was on my holidays. So I think.
So what are you saying?
What am I saying?
I think you should be allowed to go on holiday more.
Yes, I think so.
And I shouldn't.
Well, no, you should, because then we get the Instagram stories. What happens if we're both on holidays at the same time?
Well, we both went to New York and we beat Chelsea.
All right. And then we turn Chelsea into a three at the back machine.
Yeah.
That went on to walk the league. Okay, let's never do that again. All right. Okay, well, look, we're going to take a little break here, and we're going to come back in part two with your questions and more right after this.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to the Arscast Extra. This is part two where
it's like one of your dance remixes or
it
something.
Is, yeah.
On the end.
Where we answer the questions that you said. I could edit this out, of course, but where we answer the questions that that you sent us, that you make put towards internet on us.
Into internet tweets.
Internet in the face.
With hashtags. There's a hashtag.
Ash Craig. Anyway, you send us questions and we ask the questions to each other and then hopefully we give
and
you some
answers.
And then
I say, I don't know.
You say, I don't know. You say, okay. Will I go first?
I would normally say yes, but I'm a bit worried. but I'll let you go first. Yeah, let's see what comes out.
Okay, this one comes from The Great Depression. His name is...
Sounds fun.
Awazar on Twitter. And he wants to know very simply... Will we complete another big transfer this window?
Ooh, yes, we will. We
there
will,
you go.
Surely. I feel like we will. I mean, Marcus Brown said, do you think we'll make any more signings before the Community Shield? And I was going to say, I'm not particularly optimistic of that. That's in about, what, 9 days' time now. I don't feel like that's going to happen, but I feel like surely there's going to be a little bit more business before the window shuts. What do you reckon?
I think we will. I don't know who or where or why.
We know why, to make the team better. That's why.
Is it why, though? Is that really why? Or are we just going to just spend money for the sake of it because that's what everyone says we should do? Just spend some fucking money.
Just buy Lucas Perez. Yeah, what could go wrong?
We'll sell him to Deportivo, then buy him back for £45 million.
Yeah.
No, I think we will. I think we've got to buy a midfield player of some description. Whether we get them before the season starts, I don't know. But yeah, I think we'll do at least one more relatively big transfer. But I think from this point on, most of the transfer business we do is going to be outward. That's my thinking.
Well, definitely the majority. I mean, hopefully the majority anyway, because we've got so many players to sell. I mean, in terms of incomings, when I went away, there was all sorts of talk about Thomas Lemar, and it felt like that might be on the cards. It seems like that's gone a little bit quiet, and Monaco sound bullish, at least, about wanting to keep him now, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a difficult one, isn't it? As long as the Mbappe situation is going on with Real Madrid and he might end up there. Look, they're not even in a position where they need to sell financially right now, are they? Because they've sold Mendy, they've sold Bakayoko, they've sold Bernardo Silva. You know, they've brought in a lot of money, and if they bring in another 150 million, 160 million, then they just don't have any need for money. You could offer them so much, and they just don't need it. It's not to say they'd turn it down if you offered them a ridiculous amount. But I think what they have shown maybe as well is that if you do offer what they feel the player is worth, they're open to selling. So yeah. I don't know how seriously we're going after Thomas Lemar. I think he would be a really good addition to the squad. He's one of those where I've kind of, one of those players that I haven't had for a while where I've got my fingers crossed that we sign him. One of those that we've been linked to over a period of time. You know, the way the Alexis deal happened relatively quickly, didn't it? We were linked, but it happened relatively quickly. The same, Mesut Ozil was just like, oh shit, we're signing Mesut Ozil out of the blue on deadline day. So there was none of that. But he's a player who I'm like, I've got fingers crossed. Like I always tell the story when I was a younger man, a young boy, in fact, and Charlie Nicholas, he was the player that everybody wanted. He was banging in goals for Celtic, and all the big English clubs were after him. Arsenal were after him. Liverpool were after him. Manchester United were after him. And aside from the big clubs, I think even Tottenham were after him as well. And I remember, like, as a kid, when I still believed in the power of prayer, like praying that we would sign Charlie Nicholas. Dear God, really? Please, yeah, please sign Charlie Nicholas. I promise I'll go to church every Sunday. I promise, I promise, I promise. And then we signed Charlie Nicholas. I felt kind of obliged for a week or two, and then I was like, nah, fuck it.
You know, didn't last.
And yeah, maybe it that was last. Maybe that had a reflection in Charlie's Arsenal career. Maybe it's down to me. God was punishing Charlie for being that champagne guy around the the nightlife of London. God led him astray because I didn't go to church. But anyway, my point is that Thomas Lemar is a bit like that for me. I really hope we sign him, but I'm not sure what's going on.
I don't know if you'll even remember this, but we spoke about a Monaco game last season at some point. And I think it was when they beat Spurs, and I was saying how much I'd enjoyed it. And I was saying there was one player who really impressed me, and I was about to say Mendy, the left back, and you said Lemar. And you had liked the look of Thomas Lemar. Yeah, 100%. And
wow.
I've had this in the back of my mind. I don't know, because I think you've forgotten this, but I remember thinking, oh, I'm surprised you said Lemar, because I didn't really notice Lemar that much, but you obviously did. So you were on something. You were ahead of the curve with this scouter.
Wow, well remembered. I don't know how the fuck you remember that.
I don't know. I've got a really weird brain.
Yeah.
But there you go. So there obviously is an affinity there between you and Thomas.
Me and Tommy yeah. Lemar. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
It'll be great pals
we
if
will.
It ever works out.
We will. All right, is it your question or my question?
It's my question, I think. I'm going to take it anyway. Take the initiative.
All right.
Kev Arsenal 1990. I don't know if he was born in 1990 or he just really enjoyed Arsenal's 1990. I don't remember 1990 well enough to know if it was any good.
Well, we didn't win the league. We won it in 89.
It was certainly no 89.
It was Liverpool who won the league for the last time, I think, in 1990. That was the last time they won the league.
Well, it's quite a good year in that respect if it's the last time. He asks, are Ramsey and Xhaka a good enough pair to take us to a title challenge?
On their own, you know, I don't think they can play a whole season in all the competitions that we're playing. So I would say on that level, no. I mean, I think they're a really interesting partnership, and certainly they've done well in the final part of the season. Actually, there was a question here that ties into this, and I don't know if your answer would be the same. It's from Mr. Azule, at Jack Azule, and he says, if you could magically guarantee the fitness of one player for next season, who would it be? And I was going to say, when I asked you that question, my choice would be Aaron Ramsey. Because I feel like with Ramsey, it's the fitness issues more than ability issues that have hampered his career over the last couple of seasons. I think he's a tremendous player. And if he stayed fit, if he had a run in the team, if he had a position in the team that he was really comfortable in. So if we work that with three at the back, we've got the two wide men in midfield. We've got Xhaka sitting a little deeper and we've got Ramsey between that position and the two are wide men, Ozil and Sanchez, as it might be. You know, I think he could do a fantastic job in there. So he would be the guy that I would love to stay fit. Are they on their own good enough to take us to the title? I'm not sure. I think it's an area of the pitch where we really need some investment. I had a look at midfield this week and, you know, we're a bit weak in there, I think, in terms of just quality, not so much numbers, but quality. And I think we do need a player in there who can give us something a little bit different. What do you think of Jean-Michel or Jean-Michel Seri at Nice? We've been linked with him. He seems very much in the Kante mold, but I was very interested to read what Tim on 7 a.m. kickoff did when he looked at him and sort of compared him to Santi Cazorla. And I don't think we're saying he's a like-for-like replacement for Santi Cazorla, because Santi's a fairly unique talent, but his skill set is really, really quite similar.
Yeah, I mean, I saw bits of him against Ajax the other night. And, you know, like everybody else, I've sort of trawled through various YouTube compilations. I think he is technically really good. He can take set pieces as well. He's got good delivery. He created quite a few goals for Nice last year. I think he might fit the bill. I think we do probably need that kind of mobile midfield player, someone who can rotate in with Ramsey and Xhaka. Because, as you say, Ramsey's hamsies are the problem, aren't they? down the years, they've been a real issue for him. And Xhaka, you're probably guaranteed to miss a couple of games through suspension. So I do agree with you that we need someone in the middle of the park. And I think, you know, Coquelin, obviously he's got his critics. Elneny is kind of a maybe player, but not one who's necessarily found his best role in this new formation. And Oxlade-Chamberlain's future, like Jack Wilshere's, up for debate. So I would like a central midfielder to come in. I don't know if that was the plan for Lamar, but Seri does seem like someone who would fit the bill. And his buyout clause is, I think, about €40 million, which seemed like a lot of money at the start of the summer, but now seems like, well, not very much at all.
Well, actually, I saw somebody leave a comment on your video that you did about Seri, saying that there isn't necessarily a buyout clause. That's just what Nice are looking for.
Okay.
So, you know, he certainly seems like the kind of player who is gettable from our point of view. He's not really been linked to anyone else. I know there was a link to Roma, but they didn't seem willing to pay for him. If we want him, surely he is a player that we could go and get. If we put the money down and said, we want this player, it's a deal I feel that we could really do. But again, it's how Arsene Wenger views him, whether this link is... has got any foundation or is more spurious transfer window stuff? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
By the way, just to go back on that, because I love to sort of claim that I'm right. Apparently the president told RMC Sport in May, Seri has a 40 million euro clause. At that price, he'll be free. If a club offers 40 million euro for Seri tomorrow, he'll go.
Okay.
Whether or not that's a formal clause, I don't know. But that's what was said back in May. But I don't... Who knows? Who knows what Nice are up to? What games they're playing? They signed Balotelli. They're very hard to predict.
Mm, that is true. That is true. Anyone that signs Balotelli is... Yeah. Yeah, they're brave anyway.
Worthy of some examination, maybe.
Yes.
But yeah, central midfield is sort of the big area, isn't it, that everyone's looking at now. By the way, which player would I keep fit? Ramsey wouldn't have been my first answer.
Who would it be?
Instinctively, I kind of think Alexis, simply because when he plays, he's so important to us. Then my next thought was Koscielny, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, those Achilles are becoming more and more problematic. And I think he's so important to our defensive stability.
Mm.
But would you be allowed to say Santi Cazorla? Or would that be cheating because he's already injured?
I don't know. And
You don't make the rules.
I don't make the rules. I also feel like I love Santi Cazorla. I think he's an amazing player. But I also feel like we kind of need to move beyond Santi Cazorla now rather than focusing so much on him. Speaking of central midfielders, though, Baz, at Baz9999, says he's one better than the police, Baz. He says, Ross Barkley, if he was £20 million or less, do you think he's worth taking a chance on?
£20 million or less would be cheap, wouldn't it, in the current market? It's certainly not what's being talked about with Spurs' interest.
Mm.
I mean, sort of... No, I think not. There was a time when I thought Barkley was an incredibly exciting prospect, and I think Arsene Wenger spoke in very glowing terms about him, and you could see why. Amazing physique, great technique, but that doesn't seem to have converted yet. I'm not necessarily convinced he's much better or much different to Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. I sort of feel like he's in that bracket of kind of nearly. What about you?
Yeah, I think that's a really good comparison, actually. You're looking at him thinking, this is a guy who's got all the attributes, but when are we going to see them on a consistent basis? Mm. And I do wonder as well, you know, obviously he's an Everton lad, and if he can, you know, if he's got issues with Everton, I don't think he's probably going to be treated, you know, terribly by Everton by any means. So what's his issue with the club that's made them so vehement and so determined to move him on? Because I think Ronald Koeman is really keen to move him on this summer. So maybe there's, you know, attitude issues in there as well. I wouldn't, to be perfectly honest. I don't think he's what our central midfield needs.
No, definitely not. And also, a bit like Oxlade-Chamberlain, he hasn't really nailed down a position. You know, if he came into this Arsenal team, you'd probably be looking at him for one of the roles almost behind the striker. He's not really played regularly in a deeper position. So I'm not convinced by Barkley. If you let Ox go and brought him in, I'm not sure it's an upgrade. It's sort of more of the same, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Okay, Ollie, at World of Ollie, asks... Are we struggling to sell people? I mean, I can answer that straight away. Or do you think we're playing hardball with prices? Or are players simply reluctant to leave?
I think it's a couple of things. I think, A, if you're a player who's got a year left in your contract and you're being paid 60 grand a week and somebody says, I think we did this the other week, didn't we? Come and like do more work and earn less money. A lot of them are going to say no. That it suits them to see out the final year of their contract, whether they want to play or not. Now, you know, you can make your own mind up about what that says about the individual or the players in question, if that's the way that they're operating. I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm just saying that that might be a factor. There's also the idea that, as we mentioned in the first part of the show, clubs know the players we don't want. They know we don't want Kieran Gibbs or Matthew Debushi or Carl Jenkinson or, you know, who else? Maybe Callum Chambers. You know, they know the players that we don't want. So they're not going to come in and try and prize them away from us with massive bids. You know, it's not like trying to buy Alexis Sanchez where you go, well, we've got to like wow them with a big bid here. They are going to come in and try and lowball us because they know they're buying something that we don't want. So we don't have a strong hand in that regard. But I also think that a lot of the outgoing deals are going to happen late in the transfer window. My gut feeling tells me that as the transfer window comes to a close in the final week, there will be a bit more. Like, the business we're seeing at the moment is crazy. It's mental. The 50 million Kyle Walker, the 45 million Gylfi Sigurdsson, 200 million for Neymar. You know, it's crazy stuff that's going on just at this moment in time. But the nuts and bolts of the transfer market, the average players that are going to move between clubs, they're not going to be the focus of this kind of attention. But when it comes right down to it, you know, they're going to have, clubs still need the players, and, you know, we still need to move those players on. But towards the end of the window, you get better prices if you're a buying club. It's easier to haggle. We've seen Arsenal do it down the years. So I just think it's going to take time to get rid of some of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it gets easier for a buying club suggests that we're not going to get significantly better offers than what we're getting now, right? I mean, I think Arsenal are going to have to cut their losses with quite a lot of these guys, and whether that means they have to make a contribution to their salary for the remaining year, or they just have to accept low or almost nominal fees in some cases, I think that is going to be what happens. And it's frustrating, but we do, to an extent, simply have to clear the decks. I mean, the squad is, as Arsene Wenger put it, heavy. It's too big, and he tends to be at his best when working with a slimmer squad.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we'll see. So I think that's really why there hasn't been much in terms of the outgoings as of yet. We also had that question from Abhishek, who's Monkey's Magic on Twitter. So more or less the same question. S, who's at Atwood10, wants to know, do you think our poor form last season was largely due to players having shit numbers? 33, 24, 29, 20, all starters.
I mean, it's not pretty, is it? It's not pretty. I'm optimistic that this summer we could sort quite a lot of that out, though. You know, we've already given Lacazette number 9. Chesney's gone, so that frees up the number 1 potentially for Petr Cech. Debuchy could vacate the 2. Could we see Hector Bellerin take number 2? Kieran Gibbs number 3. I mean, I was surprised that Kolasinac went in for 31 early doors. He could have sat it out and taken the 3. So look, as meaningless as it is, we could sort it out and make it look a bit prettier this summer.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think some of the big numbers are kind of ridiculous. But Xhaka wanted that number, didn't he? Or did Xhaka, like, didn't he?
Oh, not Xhaka, Kolasinac.
I know. But didn't what?
Did he ask for it? I don't know.
What number is Xhaka?
Shaka's 29, because wasn't 29. There
some
a number that he
wanted
Kukala. 34. He wanted 34. He's got it 2 on him or something. And then ended up 29.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you cut out completely there. I didn't hear a word you said, but I'm not worried.
It was something about squad numbers, so it's really not important.
Yeah. A bit of tidying. You know, it was the whole Diaby wearing number 2 was not a good one either. You know, you can go too low. Sometimes as a player, you can go too high with the number, but you can also go too low.
I mean, Gallas 10, of course, is the great unspeakable blasphemy of them all, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with the number 10 shirt this summer if Jack Wilshere goes. That'll be interesting.
What do you think is going to happen with Jack Wilshere?
Well, I had a question. Should I ask the question?
Yes, dude, that's handy.
You won't know that. Where is it? Okay, Chris Frenchy at C Ragout on Twitter, or Ragu, probably, actually, if he's Frenchy. sorry. And he says, 2010 Jack Wilshere is just what our midfield needs. Should we keep him and hope he finds that form? There's nothing to lose if clubs are only making low offers.
I think that's reasonable, to be perfectly honest. Like, if someone comes in and offers you 6 million for Jack Wilshere, maybe you should take it because his injury record suggests that you might get nothing in January, or if he gets to next summer, he can leave on a free. But, you know, I think I said a few times last season that I felt like our midfield missed a player with the qualities that Wilshere has, because he was a bit like Rosicki, wasn't he, in that he had this ability to burst between the lines and to try and break down some of the pack defences that we came up against. So, like, if we don't get an offer that's reasonable for Jack Wilshere, keep him, for sure. Why not? Why not? He is a good player. He hasn't reached his potential. He might not ever reach his potential. And I still feel like he burned his bridges going to Bournemouth. But yeah, why not keep him? If the offer doesn't come in, that's good enough to sell him. We might as well have him in the squad.
I mean, I guess, you know, we all spoke about Wojciech Szczęsny and how much affinity he had for the club and the affection and how sad it was when he left. And, you know, if that's true of anybody else in this squad, it's Jack Wilshere, isn't it? I mean, he was raised at Arsenal, and while he may have burned or certainly singed his bridges, you know, he's still probably got a depth of feeling for Arsenal. So the noises coming from Arsene Wenger suggest he will be given a chance if he's prepared to work and be a squad member and wait for his opportunity. He wasn't prepared to do that last year, so maybe it'll be in Wilshere's hands.
All right. Okay, I'm going to try and pronounce this one. This is from the Kelechi Amadi, at the Kelechi Amadi, who is de presidency on Twitter. And he says, with our performance in friendly so far, should any youngster be promoted into the senior team this season?
Interesting. Well, I believe, hasn't Ainsley Maitland-Niles officially been promoted to the senior team? I saw that. Maybe it came from George Bird or someone similar.
I think so.
Yeah, so that's one who's made the step up. I have to say, I've been really impressed by Reece Nelson. I mean, I had a question. It was from Shane Desmond on Facebook, and they said, who will be our Emirates Cup wonder kids to pin all our hopes on, like Wilshere and Jeff before them, only to end up Sonogoing us? Well, I think I'm excited to see Reece Nelson play. I know it is only pre-season, and it's difficult to draw too many conclusions, but the confidence and the swagger that he has shown almost every time he's taken to the field, really, is impressive, and he's clearly very technically able, so you know, I wouldn't go as far as say he should be involved regularly with the first team, but I think we'll see him here and there in the domestic cups and the Europa League, and that's probably about right.
I think he's probably the only one, really. I know Joe Willock had a good game in maybe against, I can't remember who, one of the preseason games anyway.
Sydney.
But no, I think if we're talking about putting a Premier League team together that can challenge for the title, I don't think any of these guys are ready for that in any way. But there does appear to have been a good clearing of the decks at youth level. There is a bit more room for some of these young guys to play more of the under-23 football. Players like Chuba Akpom should be on their way. Even the Jeff, he's in that misfit squad for the game at Bournemouth tonight. Now, I know he had an injury, but there was a story in France Football which said Arsene Wenger had enough of Jeff Ren at Adelaide and wanted to get rid of him. He was like getting ready to move him on. There was talk of a move to AC Milan. Maybe Reece Nelson can come along and impress and disappoint us ultimately like the Jeff. But it sounds like something happened in a disciplinary way when it comes to the Jeff. So yeah, but I think Reece Nelson is the one who looks the most exciting of those young players that have been on tour.
Yeah, he really does. And I mean, the Jeff thing is interesting, but if it is a disciplinary issue, I suppose we've seen with what's happened with Szczęsny how seriously Arsene can take those matters and what it can mean for a player's future. So, yeah, it'd be a shame because I know, you know, we've seen bits and pieces of him here and there, and he's very talented. And I know other players in the squad rate him incredibly highly. So, it'd be a shame if it has all gone wrong for him.
All right, you got a question?
Oh, I don't know. Yes, I probably do, but I don't know what it's going to be.
Well, I've got
I'm
one.
I'm excited, though.
All right. Well,
oh,
you
yeah,
go
on.
No,
you
no,
say
no,
yours
no,
while
no,
I...
No. Let's not get in the way of the excitement here as you scroll up and down Twitter desperately trying to find a question, like a DJ wondering where his next record is.
It's because we keep sort of asking similar questions. And I keep that thing. It's funny you say that. I've got this question as well. And what I've done, I've burnt out many of my questions. Oh, I've got one.
All right.
A lot of pressure on this, isn't there?
Yeah.
Fred Thurbin, who's at RLF86 on Twitter. Fred asks, does the fallout from the friendly results make you concerned there'll be a hostile atmosphere around the club from the first game? Not a bad question, was it, in the circumstances?
Yeah, not bad. No more than usual, really.
But usual's not very good, is it, Arsenal?
Well, no, true. I mean, look, it all depends on what happens on the pitch, ultimately. You know, were things calm, generally speaking, over the summer? Yes, they were. Even though we finished in the Europa League. Why was it? Because we won our final 10 games, including a cup final. So it's really what happens on the pitch that will dictate the atmosphere, of course. You know, it's a tricky enough start to the league. But, you know, I don't think there's any forgiveness anyway. I saw after the defeat against Chelsea, there were people losing their minds over the performance, over the fact that we'd lost a preseason game against Chelsea, you know, going like as if it was a game that meant something or mattered in any way. So if people are prepared to broadcast their thoughts over a game as unimportant as that, then you can be quite sure that they will when there are points to be played for. And if we drop points, then of course people are going to go absolutely bananas. But I don't. I just think it's the way it is these days. I think you know. I don't know whether we have to accept it or not, but it is just what it is. That's what happens, and it's up to you or me or whoever's listening as individuals to decide whether or not that's something that they want to engage with, because you can filter that out of your supporting experience as much as possible. It's a little difficult for me or perhaps you if you're doing videos, if you're doing stuff that people are commenting on, of course, you know, that is a little bit difficult. But I think most people, you know, you don't have to watch things that overreact. But yeah, it is. It's just the way of things that people have a lot to say these days. Says the guy doing a podcast.
Yeah, I know. They feel the need to talk about anything.
What's up with people?
It makes me sick.
Always talking into microphones and recording it and making it available for people to listen to on their phones or whatever device. It's crazy.
Guys, you can filter it out of your fan experience. Let me tell you, it's easily done. Please don't, though. We'd appreciate it. But
don't
I think I'll just go mad just doing this podcast every week.
Just me and you.
Yeah. Well, look, sometimes I wonder. But what I was going to say, it has been relatively serene, hasn't it, this summer? For, you know, compared to what it was like just a few months ago. I mean, one thing I noticed the other day, I was thinking to myself, what happened to the takeover? What happened to all the people trying to buy the club? That just went away, didn't it?
Got enough money. Got enough money.
Got enough shares, Stan. You got enough shares, mate.
Never seen anything like it.
Yeah. No, it does feel like that. Just, you know, that story burst into life around the end of the season. There were chants, get Kroenke out, all of that. And then just kind of evaporated off the FA Cup.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, in fairness,
trophies will do that for you, I guess.
Trophies will do that. And of course, you know, there haven't been games. You know, I presume 20,000 people are going to turn up in Stan Kroenke masks for the Emirates Cup and bring their kids and everything with Stan Kroenke masks on. But, you know, I don't know. But look, you know, it's down to the players, and let's see how ready we are and see how quickly this team can get going this season. That will be the true driver of the atmosphere.
It will. They better get going quickly. They're the first game, aren't they? Friday night.
All right, listen, I've got one here. This is a good question. I think you'll like this one. This comes from Nick Howell, who's at Nick4768. And he says, if you were offered the chance to sign a young Vieira or Henri, knowing that they go on to replicate the same form, who would you pick?
Oh, that is really difficult, you know.
So let's try and make it as easy as possible. You've got to sign that player now for this team now.
This team. Well, it's Vieira then, I think, for me.
Mm.
It's Vieira because, you know, we talked about central midfield being a problem. In attack, you've got Ozil, Alexis and Lacazette. We don't know what Lacazette's going to be like, but, you know, he should be decent enough. We spent enough money on him. Central midfield's a big problem. It's got to be Vieira. What about you?
Yeah, for this team right now, I think it would have to be Vieira. Just to have that presence, that fucking monster in midfield who could do all the things that he did. You know, you remember when he first came into the team, it was just like mind-blowing to see this guy perform in that way, to add this presence, this, I don't know how to describe it. He was like a force of nature. I mean, Henri was amazing, an amazing player, the way he came in, but he did what you wanted a striker to do, right? He came in and scored goals and made goals and just added so much to our attack. But Vieira just took our midfield to a completely different level. And I think having a young Vieira in this midfield would take that area of the pitch to a higher level again. Then you ask me, have we got enough of a midfield to challenge for the title? I'd say definitely yes, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, when people watch N'Golo Kanté play now, they sometimes say, oh, it's like watching two players. With Vieira, it was even more so, even more pronounced, because he covered so much ground and he was such a brilliant ball winner, but he was technically unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy to forget how skillful he was, the way he could, you know, clip the ball over a player's head and dribble away from them. And he could really, really do it. He could score goals. He was so complete as a player. And, I mean, yeah, he would solve a lot of the problems in this side instantly.
Yeah, it's
and a leader, a real, real leader. Like, he inherited the armband from Tony Adams and a different style of captain, but a fantastic captain nonetheless.
Yeah, imagine. Oh, my God.
Go on.
I was just going to say, I think I've got an inflamed pubis right now, thinking about that.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a few kind of, you know, supposed new Vieiras down the years, but nothing quite like the original, is there? There's nothing. I mean, he was a one-off. That's the thing. It's like trying to find a Santi Cazorla replacement. These great, great players, they are one-offs, and the idea that you could find someone who steps in and will do the same job is so implausible, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. All right.
So you've got to find another solution.
Got to find it. Yeah. Just find another Patrick Vieira. That's easy. It's easy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you just go to Cannes, which is where he came from. I know we got him from AC Milan. Arsene Wenger just got to walk into Cannes and go, got enough Patrick Vieiras, mate? Got enough? There must be loads of them just
running around
on the training
like
ground.
Gazelles. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
If they've got spare ones going,
yeah,
let's have them.
We should get a couple just in case one of them breaks down. Wait to do it.
Oh, it's right. Arsenal player, so they probably will break down.
Yes.
Have we got time for more?
Well, if you have one more, let's do it. I don't have any more. So if you've got one, feel free.
You've got no more questions.
No.
You've done enough of them.
I've done enough, yeah.
I want one more.
Oh, you want one more?
But I don't have one, so I'm just looking for it now. How do you feel about that?
I feel fine. Do you want to see? Are we just improving here? Are we shooting the breeze? Just kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Clearing up
dead
air.
I need you to fill for me. Tell me what you can see.
What
just fill time.
There's some tiles. Tiles on the roof outside and a tree.
Have you got tiles? Oh, outside. No, you haven't got tiles on the roof.
Actually, I have got tiles on the ceiling in my office. I do.
Tiled ceiling? I've never heard of such a thing.
I have got foam tiles on the ceiling of my office.
Ah, soundproofing.
Soundproofing. I've got foam tiles on the wall, foam tiles on the ceiling. That's why the sound is so... That's why it's so rich and wonderful. You see?
Yeah, that's your voice, though, to be honest. I could have all the foam tiles I wanted. It would never be as sonorous. Okay.
Oh, you got one,
I've got
you?
A question.
All right, okay. Yeah.
Well done, you filled beautifully.
I filled your gap.
Yes, indeed. So this is from David.
With my inflamed pubis.
Careful, I will send you back to Brazil. So
okay.
At David says, why don't we just bid for Neymar? If we're willing to pay 125 million for a somewhat unproven player in Mbappe, why don't we just do an extra 60 or so for Neymar?
Well.
Thoughts?
I mean, yeah. Why don't we? I mean, why don't you?
And why don't we get Messi and Ronaldo while we're at it?
Exactly. And, you know, we should buy a new fucking stadium. We've only got one stadium. We should just, I mean, while we're buying the Emirates, we should have built a second one. That's what we should have done. We could play home games and away games. Exactly. Why don't we just bid for Neymar? I mean, that would be the most pointless exercise of all time, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. I mean, we could put the bid in. I think it would just be a bit embarrassing, really, though, wouldn't it? I mean, it would just be...
You imagine if we just bid, like, 250 million euros for Neymar.
And a pound.
but knowing that they would never accept it, they'd never accept that. Like, knowing that he wouldn't want to come. He wouldn't want to come, but we just bid, keep bidding, like, or 250 million. Arsenal have £250 million bid for Neymar rejected. 300 million. 350 yeah. million. 472 million. And we know Neymar's not going to, Neymar wants Champions League football. He's probably got a clause in his, like, his sponsorship contracts that he has to play for a club with Champions League football. £3 billion for Neymar. We'll bid that much. No, couldn't agree personal terms with the player, but, you know, we went right in there.
Yeah, we really tried, though, didn't we? We really tried.
Yes, we did. But I can't see it happening.
You don't think we'll sign Neymar?
Don't
think
so.
Not before the Community Shield. Not before the Community Shield.
No, hang on. I've got to take a drink of water here because my voice is just about to go.
Okay.
You were supposed to fill in there for me while I was taking
a
drink.
I thought you were telling me that, like, off air. Sorry, I didn't realise that. I thought you'd sort of, you know, this is behind the curtain of Oz. I didn't realise that was going to go out.
Oh,
but now everyone heard you. Now everyone knows what it sounds like when you drink. Imagine.
People have heard me drink before. I've drunked in the company of others. They know what it's
that's
like.
True.
They know what
that's
it's like.
Much true.
All right. Well, look, we'll leave it here because we've got to do another one on Monday, but we will have all the glorious news of the Emirates Cup to which you are going. You're going.
I'm going both days. Looking forward to it. Let's see what happens. Naby Keita might be there with Red Bull Leipzig. Shall we kidnap him to solve the midfield problem?
Good idea. Good idea. I'll leave that in your capable hands. I'll thank the listeners for listening. Thank you very much indeed. Remember, if you feel like giving us a review on iTunes, that would be great. Appreciate that. We did have one the other day, actually. I looked at it. I was thinking, have we got any nice new reviews? And we did have one. Did have one. I'm going to read it out here. Hang on.
Okay, good. Looking forward. It's always lovely. Thank you for the reviews.
No, most people are great. Thank you very much. We've got 997 5-star reviews on iTunes in the UK.
You could be the 1,000th reviewer, guys. What an honour.
That could be it. So actually, I can see. So maybe we'll give a prize to the 1,000th 5-star reviewer. I'll be able to figure out who that is. But anyway, Gunnar, G-W-N-N-E-R, said on the 14th of July, he said, they seem to think people are there to listen to their banter, which is in inverted commas. He says, I don't listen because I don't care. He says, I care in any way about jam crisps or James oh-so-comical mishaps. I think he meant to say, I don't care. So you do care, man.
Okay. I think he cares so much that he finds it difficult to listen. He finds it too upsetting.
All he cares so much about you hurting yourself while eating crisps and jam. That could be what it is.
It's too moving.
It is. And then I like this one from Jur23, who only gave us 2 stars. Jur, come on, man. He said, Q&A aspect, a nice touch and some decent discussion, but nothing really factual based and has the usual fan bias that I can hear at the Emirates. So I don't know, are we biased towards Arsenal? I mean, that seems a bit normal, doesn't it? I mean, shouldn't we be?
And also with no factual basis, all this fantasy talk, all this made-up football team called Arsenal that we talk about every week.
Exactly, exactly. It's not fucking Game of Thrones, mate. There's no fucking dragons and tits in this.
Maybe that would get better ratings, to be fair.
Well,
if we want all exclusively 5 stars, we need more dragons in this show.
Well, my topless days are behind me, James, I'm sorry to say. Those days have gone. Those days have gone. All right, well, we'll leave it there. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one on Monday. Until then, cheers.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.